This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. In the Great Lakes, it used to be the lake trout was the fish to catch. But by the late 1950s, that fish and others had been severely overfished. And an eel-like blood-sucking parasite called the sea lamprey further reduced lake trout numbers. Then, a fish called the alewife invaded the Great Lakes through man-made canals. With not enough lake trout to keep the alewife in check, alewife populations exploded, and then they would collapse, depending on the year. Dead alewives washed up on the beaches of the Great Lakes in piles stretching miles along the coasts, not very attractive to tourists. In 1964, the Department of Natural Resources hired a fish biologist, Howard Tanner. They asked him to figure out how to deal with the alewife problem and left him in the room with this order: make it spectacular. Tanner says he saw the alewife as simply a food for a predator fish. In an interview a few years ago, Tanner told me his experience as a fish biologist out west told him Pacific salmon would do the trick and it would be spectacular.
I've got the world's biggest chunk of fresh water, and it's full of food, and I've got a species of fish to put on it. You didn't have to be a rocket scientist. You had to be a fish biologist, maybe. But there wasn't any doubt.
Salmon fishing has been incredibly popular in the Great Lakes ever since, but the Great Lakes ecosystem continues to change. The alewife has almost disappeared in Lake Huron. Salmon fishing collapsed there. Charter boat captains moved their boats from Lake Huron to Lake Michigan. C.J. Baker moved his boat from Alpena to Ludington. In this 2011 interview, he explained why.
I loved Alpena, but with the fish collapsing, there was no way you were going to pull anybody up there. Now, when Roger City took a dive, and that was, quote-unquote, the salmon capital of the state for years. And when it died, everything just, you know, petered right out up there. There was just nothing left.
And now it appears Lakes Michigan and Ontario are headed in the same direction as Lake Huron, a decline in alewives, a decline in salmon. Joining me now is Sarah Adlerstein. She's a fishery scientist at the University of Michigan. Salmon is popular, but a few years ago, the DNR stopped stocking salmon because of the decline in food sources for them. We mentioned the alewives, but they're actually only part of the story. The invasive zebra mussels and then later the quagga mussels are having an impact on the Great Lakes as well. So tell me what's going on with Lake Huron and how Michigan and Ontario might be following in its path.
Yeah, I think you put the story in a very nice perspective. I think after 50 years, we are seeing the result of a success. In fact, the alewives, they collapsed. Chinook salmon doesn't have a role anymore in that plan. But of course, the economic success of the fishery makes it now a little bit of a problem for people that want to continue doing that. But the ecosystem is going back to a more oligotrophic stage, which is more natural, and things are not native species are starting to come back.
What kind of native species are we talking about?
The same you were talking at the beginning, the main predator.
The lake trout.
The lake trout. Lots of efforts to restore lake trout, including trying to deal with the lamprey problem. And of course, now the fisheries are regulated in a different way. So they are coming back. And also now there are efforts to start restoring the native prey, which is Cisco. And I hope that will succeed. Walleye, it's also coming back.
I understand the whitefish are looking a little healthier now too in Huron.
Yes, whitefish actually, I was surprised looking at across the Great Lakes has been one of the species, native species, that hasn't gone down. And they even adapted to feed on the zebra mussels, which is pretty amazing. Yes, they seem to be more resilient.
Now, you co-authored a study published in the journal Ecosystems. It suggests that wildlife managers should focus their efforts on the restoration of the native fish, such as the fish we just mentioned and lake herring. Why is that? If salmon are so popular, why should we go back to these native species?
Well, that's a good question. Who is to decide how an ecosystem should look like? We have become accustomed now, I think, as people, to decide on what we want. But the sustainability of a system depends on the function. And the native food web was a sustainable food web. So why would we need to be intervening in these ecosystems all the time to make it what we want for a certain sector of the population.
Well, because a certain population brings in a lot of tourism money, for one thing. Also, you know, I was at a hearing that the DNR was holding a few years ago when they were talking about reducing the number of salmon they would introduce into Lake Huron. And there was a pretty loud hue and cry from some segments basically saying, hey, why don't you just bring in more alewives so we can sustain the salmon? You know, you, as you said, salmon got rid of the alewives. Good job. Well done. Let's move on. But that's not what we've been used to for the last 50 years. Salmon are very, very popular among anglers.
I know. It's interesting. I have been also going to some of these meetings and being amazed to hear the fishermen pushing for a solution, quote unquote, for their recreational fishery. Well, the productivity of the lake, it's low. So even if you would put more Chinook salmon, even if you would try to put alewives, now the system is a different system, right? And the native food web was adapted to that, the original condition. So what is the limit? Are we going to reverse what has been a success in with the clean water, so restricting nutrients into the system, because that's where the beginning of everything comes from, right? You need a productive system that will sustain all the other unnatural food web.
Right, because we've had these, I don't think people realize the impact of the quagga mussels, which are on the bottom of the lakes by the trillions, and they're all filtering out the nutrients, stealing it from the entire system. That's part of the reason of the collapse of the alewives. And, but I'm wondering, why have the native species been able to survive better than, say, the alewives or the salmon? The walleye, the lake trout, the herring, the perch, some of them that are doing a little better now since the salmon and alewives are more or less out of the picture.
That's right. They are. The Chinook salmon and alewives were actually imposing mortality on the native prey. So competition and direct predation. When they're out of the system, especially the alewives, then walleye, for example, in Saginaw Bay are surviving much better, and yellow perch, because the alewives are not coming there. They use the Saginaw Bay as a nursery area. So they were feeding on them. That's direct predation. And then, of course, competition. And the whole food web reacts in a way that, it makes it harder for the native prey to survive.
Now, Lake Huron is nearly wiped out. There are almost no salmon in Lake Huron. Lake Michigan is in decline.
Yeah.
Is it at the same rate as Lake Huron? Because Lake Huron went down really, really fast.
Well, Lake Huron is a less productive system. So as I was saying, there is a beginning for everything, and that's the productivity of the lakes. And Lake Huron was and is now back to being an oligotrophic lake. Michigan, it's more productive. So it can take more of this invasive species before things get to be back to what it used to be. So if quagga mussels keep increasing, because they're still expanding, right? And so there is a limit probably where things are going to start looking the same. It's in Lake Huron, depending on how much of the nutrients go there and how much these quagga mussels are expanding.
So what do we still need to know to understand what's happening in lakes like Michigan and Ontario?
Well, just longer time series to observe the pulse of what's going on. I think now we have a much better idea on what we should be looking at. We know now, for example, that one of the things we're missing, why we didn't see this happening maybe, is that we didn't have good information on the abundance of Chinook salmon. So we were, they were being stalked, right? And everybody was under the impression that they were surviving and that you could have a handle on how many there were around. But they started reproducing naturally. And it was, you know, it took many years to recognize that and to start measuring the proportion of Chinook salmon that were not stalked, right? That were naturally reproducing. So we didn't know exactly. That's one thing, right? In order to predict what you're going to see in a system, you need to have good data. Food web models are really good at integrating that information to give you some ideas of what you can expect. But if you don't have good data, you can't do that.
I remember when they were surprised to find that salmon were reproducing, and I was thinking at the time, why wouldn't you expect that or anticipate that? It seemed odd to me at the time.
Yeah, it's over and over. If you look at what we do for restoration and biological control in not only in freshwater systems but also in terrestrial systems, we do see, right, that, somehow what you have introduced as biological control gets a little bit out of hand, and then you have another problem, a different problem. You solve maybe the first one, but you end up with other ones. One has to be really careful about that.
So is the bottom line, anglers in the Great Lakes are going to have to get used to fishing for the native species and just look back as salmon as a blip in the history of the lakes?
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing wrong with that. Totally the opposite. I think maybe a little bit of education it's necessary. So the fishermen understand what it means when they catch a Chinook salmon or a lake trout, and maybe they feel happier if they know that lake trout is a good fish to have around, and maybe they will not insist in having what doesn't belong to the Great Lakes in the first place.
Sarah Adlestein is a fishery scientist at the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and Environment. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.